Mom's Worst Day podcast is an avenue for mothers to share their stories, things that did not go quite as planned, and interesting trials that come with motherhood. The podcast aims to encourage and uplift women, ease the burden of their ever-present mom guilt, and to let them know that they are not alone. I'm your host, Nicole Chikwe, and welcome to Mom's Worst Day. You've got this, mama. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mom's Worst Day. I'm your host, Nicole Chikwe, aka the most premium pie in Lagos. Our guest today is none other than the gorgeous, stunning, beautiful, spirit-filled woman of God, a wife, mother, entrepreneur, model, we're still going, and ex-MBGN queen, Adeze Yobo.
Thank you.
Welcome. Have you done a podcast before?
No, my first time. I don't even know where to talk to. Right?
It's fine. No, it's okay. Fine. We're talking. It's fine. Okay. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. So we had spoken once before during Mom Chit Chats. We did like a live together. So when this opportunity came up, I was like, oh no, there's... Adeza has to come on because she has such a beautiful spirit and she's so like open and funny. So yeah, so thank you so much
for
gracing us with your presence on the show. How are you doing today?
Good.
The rain today,
I know,
was like, I was one of those, like getting out of the bed this morning was such like a struggle. And then it started raining. I was like, oh, so I just been struggling through the day.
But, do you like the rain? Do you like when it rains?
I do when I don't have to go anywhere, but then I had to take my kids to school.
Me too.
But so that was a little bit stressful, but exciting. My kids just started physical school.
Oh, when?
We're now in week two.
Yeah. Okay. Same. Yeah. Same
really?
As my kids. Yeah.
So they've been home
my
this whole
first
time.
My first son has been going.
Okay.
But the other two were home for like a year plus.
Yeah. Same. And that was so tough. So I'm grateful to God because like,
did they cry?
No, they were very happy to
my
go to school.
Daughter frustrated everyone from the teachers to us. Like, that's one of the reasons why I couldn't go to school, because she starts crying. She doesn't want to be in school. I want to go home. I want to go to the beach. She started naming all the things she's been doing.
I want to go to the beach.
You are going to school today.
Exactly.
Like, no, I want to paint my nails. I felt like such a bad
nails.
Mom because the teachers were there and other kids were in school. And she's a tall girl for her age. So in her class, you know, when a tall girl is acting like a baby, it's like, oh, really? She's four.
Oh,
so
bless.
They were looking at me like, oh, you really spotted this girl, Lou. You really, and I was like, Lexi, stop embarrassing me. She's like, I'm not going to school.
I need my bag.
And you know, the funny thing is that she'll dress up and not say anything till we get to school. And then she's like, I'm going back. Why are you so happy eating in the morning? Like, I'm school. And then you get to school
and
want to go
reality
home.
Reality hits you. And
it happened
like,
for like 1 week plus. She only said, last time she said, her teacher is not smiling back at her. She was smiling to her teacher. So we went to tell the teacher. She said, you're not smiling. She smiled back. She came back. She's like, when I was playing, when I was eating today, I'm like, Lexi, the teacher is not going to be smiling every minute at you.
Exactly, ma'am.
She was
picking up
little things as excuses
not to go to school.
So that was the only stress I had. The other ones were so happy to leave the house. But I've always had that issue with my daughter. She just wants to be at home.
Oh, bless. But that's, I mean, I guess it must be, do you guys have like a really tight bond? Because maybe she's like your only girl. So you guys are always like mommy and me time.
She's very playful. She just wants to play all the time. She doesn't like rules. Like, she doesn't want to go to a new place where they'll be like, you don't touch this. You know, she just hates it. She's always wanting to be in that environment that she's comfortable, which
and
is
she's
home.
Free.
And she's
right.
free. Yeah. She has everyone, you know, kind of kissing her ass.
Please, who
when
doesn't
she goes
love
out
it?
And they don't call her princess is a problem. I'm like, maybe we need to tone it down in this house, calling you princess and all, because you're really thinking. I remember one time her teacher was like, Lexin is really a special girl. You know when someone wants to say your daughter is naughty, but they don't want to use that word.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. She's like, let me use the word. She's a princess.
I already got
what she meant. I was like, oh. But sometimes she's like, I need to paint my nails. My nails are chipped. I need to paint it.
But I love a girly girl. So listen, I'm not going to let and there'll be no Lexine slander tolerated on this show.
Maybe when they've broken all like your lipsticks, you're like, oh,
no.
I don't have makeup again.
Oh no. Okay, no. So my kids have been, I have two daughters, but they're quite, no. So the youngest does not respect my
makeup,
my things.
No,
she will destroy.
She's
two. She's two, that's but she loves it. Exactly. But it's been good. She was really excited. She hadn't been to school. So she was supposed to start school last year.
So happy.
And then, exactly.
First time happy.
Exactly. She's excited because she used to watch her siblings go to school.
That's what happened to my daughter. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think that's why we didn't have any issues because she was like, yes, I'm ready for school. Like,
when did she turn two?
October.
October. So yeah. She's two.
Well, she's like two and a half now.
Okay. When, I was going to say, isn't it too early? But it's fine.
No, yeah. Right? Two and a half. Yeah. It's two and a half.
I mean, anytime from one, they can go to school. Right?
I was going to say.
Want to send them out of that,
let them go. Let them go. Like, whatever works for you.
My son started going like 11 months.
I love to hear 11 it.
11 months in Turkey.
Please, let him go.
Yeah, but the other two started late.
How old?
JD started at maybe two. No, not two. Maybe three.
Okay.
Lexi, yeah, just before the pandemic. So
right.
She only had that one term.
And then was at home. Yeah. Oh, I see.
So now it's four.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the only one. My first son started everything early. 11.
11 months.
11 months. I started dumping him there and just waiting for him to play around.
Love to see it.
I think that was more of boredom from my side. I was too bored. I'm like, oh, let's just go and hang out with some mummies and we drop in. We just have our gossip time. That was how I actually made friends outside in Turkey because we were living
in Turkey
there,
at the time.
Yeah, I didn't know English. And they didn't know English. So, I didn't know Turkey. I don't like to say they don't know English because they don't need to know English.
They're in their country. Mm-hmm.
So, I would just drop him there and then we'll meet at Starbucks and just start talking and then I meet friends and became comfortable there.
Okay.
But prior to that, I was like, no, I need to go home.
I can imagine. That must have been, I don't know. Anyway, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So, I knew your kids were in school because on your social media, you shared packing up their lunch boxes and writing them little notes, which I thought was the sweetest thing. Like, it's so encouraging.
Thank
and if you don't follow Adeze Yobo, please make sure you do because she has such a beautiful page and it shows like a depiction of like her everyday life with her family, which is really inspiring.
Thank you.
And so I noticed you pack their lunches and then write them notes. Like, oh, you know, like seeing you are like beautiful and strong, have a great day. And then you told one of your sons, oh, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you make me so proud. I was like, oh my God, what a great mom. You know, I just packed their lunches. I just threw it in the bag, kicked them out in school. Like, I'm not encouraging them. So even for me, I was like, oh, you know, because those affirmations are so important.
Yes.
I'm a big believer in affirmations, even for myself as an adult.
Exactly.
So,
talk
you know,
kids,
you know, speaking, I mean, talk less of children who need these words from us and these words are wired
all the time
into their brains. Like, okay, this is what I can do. So what made you start doing that? Is that something you'd always done?
I've always done it for my first son. So I couldn't wait for my son to finally learn to read because my second son, and he'd been seeing me send notes and he's like, mommy, can you put a note? I'm like, Jenny, but you can't read yet. But I didn't think of now what I'm doing to Lexi now is just put that heart because she knows what that sign means.
Right.
And then she has an idea of what the spelling of her name is.
Right.
So I didn't think of that for Jaden until now. But what inspired that was, you know, when I have a fear of, people that know me know that I'm so careful with words spoken to kids. Like, you know, when we're upset, sometimes we can say things that we don't mean, like, you know, and you hold yourself. So you don't want to go to school and some other child say something else to your child that makes them, you know, I would say when I suspected my first son was being bullied in school earlier, like maybe his primary one or primary two, I complained and that was rectified. I think it wasn't more of bullying. It was more like he was not confident in himself. You know,
right.
He was very, he would walk down. He would feel like, he would always tell me that he doesn't want to go to school. He wants to stay back. And I know that had to do with our background in moving a lot. My husband moved a lot. So just for his 5 years of being in this world, he already moved to like three different countries and five different cities. So he had different languages. He spoke late and all of those things affected him. So I wanted something. I wanted him to still hear my voice when he was away. So
oh
if he's in
gosh.
School, I wanted to remind him like, oh, you're smart. You're this, you're that. Because coming into Nigeria, he didn't know. He didn't speak as early as the other kids. he spoke really late. So at 5 years old, he wasn't reading, he wasn't writing, because his nanny in Turkey was speaking Turkish to him. I was speaking English outside. They were speaking. So it was a mixture of different languages. He was in Liverpool. They have this, their English accent.
Yeah, you know, and the really Liverpool deep. Accent is so it's really strong. Deep. Yes. Right.
So it was a mixture of so many things for him. So when he came in, I didn't want him to feel like he was dull. I wanted him to feel special. And I started writing those notes so that when he opened, he would listen. Like, he would hear my voice telling him that. So whatever it is, or whoever said anything negative to him, that would be a reminder of him that he's special. So that was how it started. And then these other two were like, it was mostly just for my first son. These other two were like, I want a note, I want a note. Now my second son, who just learned how to read it. So he's more excited than the other two.
Really?
Every day he's like, I read it. You wrote, I'm so proud of you. And then he smiles with his
gosh.
So that motivated me to always do it every day. And sometimes I feel like I want to just slide in any the old notes or anything. But then because Jaden, my second son, remembers what I wrote the last time, I have to like be intentional about what I'm writing. So I remember if it's a sports day today, I try to remember to say, oh, like, you know, kick ass today.
Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm.
Be a chap
one.
Or things
mm-hmm,
like that. Mm-hmm. So I try to be intentional on the day so that he knows that they know that it's written and it's personalized to them for the day. So that was the whole.
Listen, so I'm about to start crying. I'm about to start crying because, this was just supposed to be like a throwaway, like, oh, you know, I usually follow the people that I'm, I'm interviewing. So I'll talk about things like in their day-to-day life. Yeah. So this was just supposed to be like a cute little, mm-hmm. Okay. But that was really, wow.
Thank you.
That was really, really beautiful. And that was really, really inspiring to hear. Sorry.
I cry easily, so don't make me cry.
Yeah, so that was really, really beautiful. You are an incredible mom. That was, really, I learned so much from that.
Thank you.
Because it is really, really important.
It is
important. And what you said about your kids constantly having your voice in their head and how much that would mean to them throughout the day because the world isn't easy.
Yeah,
so.
It is.
Wow. Okay, we just started 25 minutes in. Okay, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So I might be crying, but I am genuinely excited to have you here. I think it's so interesting. It's today I actually really thought about all of the things in common that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're both, I'm actually proper crying now. So we have a number of things in common. Mm-hmm. We're both, stunning, right? Mm-hmm. So beautiful. We've both modeled.
Yes.
In fact, we first met at a fashion show.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember it, very well.
Yeah, this was... what show was it? I think
it was Made Men, right?
It was Made Men. And we're modeling. I was modeling for Maya.
Yes. I think I did for Maya too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So that was. I was like, I remember seeing you.
You know,
I've
been telling everyone that I know her, but you know, when you come into Lagos, I've never been a Lagos person to start with. I lived in Abuja, so all those times I was coming to Lagos, I would just come for an event and go back.
Right.
But the first time I lived in Lagos, was just coming back and living in Lagos with kids. And I realized that Lagos people are wonderful people.
Very,
very
so
wonderful
special.
So especially the ladies. So I realized that they don't do too well with when you just smile and open your teeth anyhow. Like they kind of like, they don't react well to it. They feel like maybe, I think they feel it's weird. So they react really poorly to it. And when I would get close to maybe, I think I saw you in Tucker's party, birthday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was going to say hi, but I was like, oh, I don't know if she'll react. I don't know if she's going to be like, I don't remember you or something. Someone had done that to me before, So I started respecting myself. So I said, let me just stay on my own. My husband always says I open my teeth too much. So I said, okay, let me respect myself and make sure she remembers that we've met before. Before I, you know, I told maybe like 5 people, oh, I know her. Like we've met, but I don't know if she remembers that we've met. So let me just keep it moving kind of.
Oh my God.
So when you remembered it, when you had that show with Anita, I was like, oh, good, she remembered. And then I wrote it down. I remember writing it. I was like, yeah, I remember we met you there.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very sweet. We clicked immediately.
We did.
It was like a one time and we didn't see each other again. So
I know.
The next thing I was here, did you get married before me or did I?
No, after? I think I got married after you. Okay, I remember okay. I was around the same okay, because yeah, that was a hot time in celebrity. So I remember when you wait, when did you get married?
2010.
Yeah. Okay. So I was just dating Nato then.
Oh, okay.
We got married in 2012.
Oh, okay,
so I remember you guys. So I was like, yeah, you know, just set the pace. Show me how this is going to go. But yeah, I do remember that. Mm. And I'm very much like that as well. I'm very, like, the thing is, I love meeting people.
Me too.
I love it. Like, me I think too. It's so fun. But like you said, Lagos is a very special place.
It's a very wonderful place.
And you can meet someone 10 times.
And every time. Like, you've never, I was like, who? You know, when you're like, I had someone that would message me all the time when I was away. And finally getting to Nigeria and seeing her, she was looking at me like, and guess what? We're about to leave the event. She pulls up her phone to do a video of us. And then she tags me and I was, oops, she remembers me. So why?
I
was like, okay, these people are really special people. Like, this is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. So we can only be talking on the Instagram,
no, so
nothing.
But do you know what it is for me, right? So that used to happen to me a lot. And then I'm like you, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to respect myself.
Yeah. Maybe
Lagos is for cool kids. Me too. Let me try and be cool. But because it's not me,
yeah,
it makes me very, very awkward. Mm. So when I now see someone that I know you know me.
It feels like you overdo it, right?
Exactly. So I'll now start like, fidgeting.
Because we're
now
intentionally doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing it because this
it
is
comes
them.
Naturally
this is
yeah,
it's
to
natural
them.
To them. Yes.
So for me, I'm like shaking. So after a while, I was like, you know what? I will take the disgrace.
Yeah.
It's fine. Mm. This is just who I am. So I will be like, oh, you know, hey,
moment.
Girl. And like, oh, hi. I'm like, yeah, remember, I saw you yesterday.
I had that moment. Yeah. I had that moment where I was like, okay, maybe I should act like them a bit. But then it wasn't me. So it didn't last long.
Exactly.
Before I knew it, like, I would come into a place and I would like found my face. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. mean. I'm looking mean.
Exactly. I'm cool.
And then after a while, someone would just say something funny. I will laugh and throw my legs up. I'm like, your husband said you should stop over laughing. Stop over laughing. Like, control yourself.
And here we are. But like, you just have to be who you are.
Yeah, that's it.
So yes, we met at a fashion show. That was awesome. And then we both have 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have 2 sons and a girl, I have a son and 2 girls. And we are both in marriages to public figures.
Yeah.
And we both got married pretty young.
Yeah.
And had kids youngish, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you had your first child?
Spring, I had him at 20.
Wow.
So pregnancy was 2. Yes, at 20, yes.
So you were pregnant at 19, had him at 20?
Yes.
Really?
Yes,
I didn't realize it was that young.
Yeah,
in my mind, it
was
like...
Doing.
That is wild. In my mind, you're like 22.
I wasn't scared. 20. I wasn't scared. I wasn't happy. I was just like, okay, I don't know where I'm at now. I'm mm-hmm. just going to, you know, when you just enter that one chance sky, you're like, you know, if you're
here we are.
Me, you kill me if you're. So that was just the mood. I didn't even know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of blurred. Like, I don't even remember how I got to that place. I just remember that I'm married. I'm in this man's house.
Mm-hmm. And this is
this
what
is
it
my
is.
Life now. Yeah.
Did you feel, so being married and pregnant that young, did you feel like judged by society? Or did you feel like, well, you know, I'm married, so like, it doesn't matter. Like, how did you feel people reacted to your pregnancy and marriage at that age?
Obviously, they thought it was too fast, which it is too fast. Like, I don't even know if I would do that or advise my daughter to do that now.
I was going to ask you that.
Because it was really quick. Like, we met and in less than 2 months, like, everything just was just so quick. So people judged that. Now, I don't know if they judged. Oh, yeah, they definitely did. They didn't think it was going to last too. Yeah, so they thought, oh, 1 year, 2 years tops. Mm-hmm. And yeah. But with pregnancy, I'm not sure because I hid the pregnancy till we got married because I was pregnant before we did the wedding.
Right.
So everything was like hush, hush. You know, my mom was like, no, we can't tell anyone until you get married. You know, so I didn't really feel that negative energy till towards the end of the marriage. It was the
end
of the
pregnancy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because by then the news was then out and then people were not talking about it. Oh,
yes.
That is so
and,
stressful.
And I think I was... starting to, you know, when you're pregnant, you're vulnerable, like you're the things you would normally not react to, you react to them. And I also was developing a prenatal depression at that towards that end. So I was, and that was the era of Twitter. So I was getting all the, you know, it was like they were punching me from different. That's why I can't enter Twitter now. Like I'm still like, if I see Twitter, I'm triggered. Like I remember when they finished me, like when they, you know, so that was that era, that Twitter era. Like everyone, we didn't have
Twitter
like
was Instagram. So hot.
It was brutal.
Twitter was bad.
Yeah. So anything they said, like if they just said, yeah, you know, her hair was standing, I'll cry. I'll feel so bad. You know, so yeah. So towards that was the only time I actually felt I received some kind of negative energy, or I felt it. Maybe I was receiving it before, but I wasn't that vulnerable to, you know, feel
it. Mm. That's so interesting that you mentioned prenatal depression because most of us know about like postnatal depression.
Yeah.
But people don't really know or discuss
prenatal. Yeah.
When did you start feeling, like what point in the pregnancy did you start feeling like, oh wow, I think I'm getting,
I think second trimester I started feeling a little bit down, and I thought it was just the pregnancy, but then I think I started feeling like all of the, I felt down is the word, but I'm looking for a better word to explain. I felt like I was going slowly, like I was just dropping slowly. And right. I didn't know there was no end to the dropping.
Right.
You know, like I was just falling from somewhere and there was no end to it. And that was when I was like, okay, what is this? You know, I didn't also know it was prenatal depression till after I went through postpartum depression. That was another key. That was prenatal depression. And if I had a clue that was prenatal depression, I would have guarded myself better for
postpartum.
Yeah, depression. So, yeah.
Wow. So you actually had both ends of the stick
then.
Yes,
I did.
When do you feel like you started to kind of come out of it? Did you get any help? Like, what was your process?
So I got off the prenatal as soon as I had my daughter, my son, my first son. And then just when I felt like, oh, I got myself back, the postpartum hit me. Like, it just, like, came out of nowhere. I was like, okay, what is this? Mm-hmm. Maybe after 2 weeks, maybe after 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then it just went on to, like, maybe 2 years plus.
Wow, yes. 2 years?
Yeah, I know a lot of people think it doesn't last that long.
Yeah,
but yeah.
People think, oh, it's just, like, a cute little thing. And like, oh, 3 months, and then it's fine.
Some people argue, like, they would swear, oh, textbook is 1 year. I'm like, did you go through postpartum depression?
Mm-hmm.
Then shut up. Like, don't say anything.
That is so wild. You know? I'm so sorry that you went through that.
No,
so that
I,
must have
I
been
did.
Like a really,
no, that was
really
horrible.
Tough,
no, that was
tough,
horrible.
Tough, tough.
You know, there
period.
Are times where I was just talking about it 3 days ago. I'm always talking about postpartum depression, but anyway.
Good.
So, I was talking to someone about how I remember I would just walk into the room. We'll be just like now, we're talking and we're drinking and friends are in the house. And then I'll give my son to my husband and go into the toilet. He comes out, he meets me, he's like, oh, do you feel better? He already knows I already want to cry. Like, if you ask me why I cried, I don't know. Like, I just cried. And then when I was done, I was like, okay, now I can go in. And then I started laughing, like, hey, what's going on? Did he know that I just had like my dose of crying? It was like medication.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had a spiritual problem at some point. I was like, ah, maybe
girl,
you're possessed somehow. Like,
yes,
something is wrong, you know? But until I actually knew what I was going through, it didn't stop until I was aware of what it was that I was going through.
So I had postpartum depression as well. And that was really, I was really shocked by it. I wasn't really prepared for it. I didn't really know much about it. I hadn't really heard. I'd heard about like the baby blues.
Did you? I didn't even hear about anything.
Yeah, you know, like, because you're not really sleeping much, so you'll be tired.
Yeah,
and
it was like the basic ones.
Sad, but you'll be fine. But I was like proper depressed. I think I've spoken about this on the show previously, but I struggled to breastfeed.
I did too. I struggled to
and
breastfeed.
And for me, like, breastfeeding is supposed to be like the most natural thing in the whole world. And so because I couldn't do it, like, it just felt like a fail. And then I had a stupid encounter with a stupid ass doctor who had told me basically, like, oh, if you wanted to breastfeed, you'll do it. I mean, you just need to, if you wanted to do it, then you would do it.
So he was trying to judge you like you don't want to do it.
Exactly. So that was now, I was already like on the precipice.
Oh, that would make you depressed.
I was just kind of, yeah, I was already just trying to manage myself. And that now sent me into like a full spiral of depression. So that was it for me. And then starting to feel, just constantly feeling like I was a failure as a mother, Like, I don't even deserve to have a child because I'm such a failure. You know, in fact, like, if this child should, if anything should happen to this child should die, it would be my fault because I can't even do the most basic things as a mother. So this going into the closet, like, that was me. Like, I would just hand the baby to NATO or my mom, because at the time NATO was he was touring, so he wasn't really around a lot. My mom, I'll just hand my son over to
Did
my
you tell
mom.
Your mom that you were going through that?
So I did, and it was just, she was like, what if he's breastfeeding dad's doing you like this? Hey, give the boy formula now. Like, why? She just, she
my
didn't
mom was
really,
like that too.
Yeah, just give him formula. Like, why are you killing yourself on top of this matter? And like, it wasn't, I don't think she fully understood. And so yeah, I would just go to the closet and cry, go to the bathroom and cry. I was crying maybe 10 times a day. Like, it was just, I didn't know you could cry that much.
Yeah,
for
me
that, but I would. So, but yeah, I mean, we could talk about depression all day, but I'm so glad that you mentioned that it took 2 years, because like you said, most people put like a time lapse on it or a time cap on it. So maybe, you know, 3 months, once the baby starts sleeping through the night.
I've seen moms who say they went through this for 5 years. I know moms who say they haven't even recovered.
Right.
So when people say it's 1 year, I'm like, it's not even supposed to be textbook. It's supposed to be an individual thing. Like,
absolutely.
How the doctors should be listening to the mothers. Like, if a mom says, I'm still depressed 5 years after having this child, she's still having postpartum depression. I don't care what your textbook says. Like, it shouldn't be 1 year. I know what I'm feeling. You know, some doctors feel like they know too much. You know, I know what I'm feeling, and I'm still feeling that. I haven't recovered from it. So you can't say it stops at 1 year, 6 months. I'm seeing some, you know, like professional, like, what do you call those? Not psychologists, right?
Therapists.
Therapists saying things like, it stops at 6 months. And I just want to cry, because imagine a postpartum depressed mom coming to that kind of doctor for help. And he's like, oh, Abby, you know, get off your high horse, like, and go and feed your child.
Exactly.
You're no more postpartum depression. Check what's wrong with you.
You're now just being silly.
You know, you're now being silly. Are you lazy or something like that? You know, those kind of doctors, there are plenty of them in Nigeria, especially.
In Nigeria.
You know, because I see them arguing like they know. And mostly, they were men.
Of course they
are. I'm like, I don't have anything to say to you.
Of course, you know, they are.
So, I couldn't even speak when I saw a man say it's 6 months. Anything after that is just depression. Okay.
Well, thanks for your valuable insights on something you have no
idea
about.
There's nothing to say again.
Honestly, like, I've just had so many, like, now I think I'm just going to be intentional about seeing female doctors.
Yeah.
I think that's like a completely separate conversation. But I mean, there are a lot of great male doctors out there, of course. But I think for me now, I need you to understand what I'm talking about, from not just from like a head point of view, like, or something you've read, but something that you have
connection from.
Like,
yes.
I think so for me, that's like my next move. Like, I just need to just be dealing with,
because I think they do more like textbook, like whatever they read is like what, how it's supposed to happen,
which is
how about maybe 2021 one woman broke that record and, you know, had like 10 years of postpartum depression.
How about
have
that
to update yourself, you know.
And how can you help me? And I just,
exactly.
I don't know. I just hope that we get to a place in Nigeria where we can have more like resources to help women who are going through postpartum.
Oh my God. Whenever I think of it, I get depressed.
It's like, a real
thing. Where do you start from?
There's
first time I spoke about it, my DM was full. I didn't even know what to say anymore. Like, I'm like, I'm just here for you. But, you know, it's not like they're going to be calling you every moment if you're like killing themselves or doing something, you know. So I just wept. I was like, oh my God, when are we going to get to that point where there'll be like a screening place or like a screening clinic where, because there are signs for postpartum depression, you know that.
Of course.
There are signs from pregnancy. There are signs that they can figure out. Like, when I had prenatal depression, that would have been a good time to say, oh, you are at risk of having postpartum depression.
Exactly.
You know, later on. So you might have it, you might not have it. But, you know, here you go. These are the things to help you along the way. But there is nothing like that here.
No. At least not that we know.
Not that I know of.
So I'll be on the active search. I think it'll be good to even have someone on the podcast to address some of these issues, because we need it. Okay. So how did you find pregnancy? Like, your first pregnancy in general? Like,
horrible.
It was horrible? Oh, wow.
You know, I waited 5 years to have the other two for a reason, because I didn't want to have kids anymore. So I was like, no more
really?
Kids. No more kids. I didn't want kids. I didn't want to see anyone with kids. I didn't want to see anyone pregnant. I didn't want to smell pregnancy. I didn't even want to, you know, when you're in church and they're like, oh, more babies for everybody. I'm like, go for
me. Not for me. Yeah. Not for me. Thank you.
So
exactly. Like, direct my blessings elsewhere. Someone else. It's for you, sis. Amen. Not for me.
I remember my brother telling me that he had a dream of being pregnant. I'm like, pregnant with money. Hallelujah. Not baby.
Pregnant with dollars. Like, no.
So, but that was because I had the worst kind. I like to call it the worst. You know, when you tell me your story and if it's really bad, I would top it with something else. I haven't actually seen a mom that challenged my experience. I'm like, I had the worst kind of pregnancy and I didn't wish it on anyone. Like at that point, I was like, no.
No more. So you know, not doing
and
this.
Also with the postpartum depression. So it made as sense well. That I didn't want to have to go through all of that anymore.
Of course.
I didn't think that. I thought that was the way pregnancy works, like with every child, you know. But my second pregnancy was the best. I didn't have any postpartum depression. I had a little, you know, I think it almost came and I fought it out.
Right.
With being
aware.
Because
you also had an awareness.
Yes.
Right?
And so I prepared for it. Mm-hmm. I prepared a lot for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only pregnancy that I really enjoyed. And it made me want to have more immediately.
Really?
Like, oh, so people are pregnant. Do people get pregnant like this?
Okay, I'll
like,
try.
No, I'll be getting pregnant all the time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but the first one was hell. It was.
And that must have been particularly, I mean, I don't know what point, at what point you left Nigeria and moved abroad, but I can imagine that that must have been quite difficult
as
well.
Yes, I think that's part of what, all those circumstances, all of that happened at the same time for me. And it goes back to say, if we had screening clinics or people who screen pregnant women, or maybe you're just going for your antenatal and someone just says, okay, sit down, let's have a quick chat. You've been traveling around, you've been doing this, you're at risk of having postpartum depression because it's just normal. It's, you know, with all our research, this is the kind of moms who develop postpartum depression. I wish I had a clue that all of that that was happening at the same time would, if, you know, some kind of, have some kind of effect on me.
Right.
After pregnancy. Because I think it contributed a lot to what I went through.
I can imagine.
That must have been. Moved a lot and... I was pregnant with my son. We're in Liverpool. From there, we moved to Turkey. They weren't speaking any English. I found it difficult to move around, to do anything. I just got married, just had a baby. So it was too much on me at that time. So I wouldn't say postpartum depression just entered. I feel like there are some things that happened that I could point at that could have contributed to it.
And then what was your support system like at that time?
My husband was working a lot.
Of course.
He was there all through, but he was just there. You know when you say just there, like he was just there to, babe, hold the baby. I'm holding the baby. Baby, feed the baby. I'm feeding the baby. He wasn't there emotionally with me. He wasn't connecting with me. He didn't go through, like with my second baby, my husband was there. I don't know how else to explain it to you, but... He wasn't, there was no connection with me being pregnant and my husband. Like, it wasn't more, you know, when people say we're pregnant together, we give birth together. I feel like there's a deeper meaning to it because the husband has to go through that process with you emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. But I feel like my husband was just there physically with the first baby. He was clueless. He didn't know what to expect and all of that. So, and there was nobody to also guide him. You know, they don't tell you all these things. Now I know that they have a lot of things for
like
husbands,
resources for
a lot of resources for dads to be. So it's easier now. Then he just wanted to just, for me to hand him over the baby, like handover kind of thing. And that was it.
Because that's like traditionally, right? And we're Nigerian, that's what it typically is, you know, the man is just
there.
I mean, I've gotten you pregnant.
Take the baby.
I will take care of you. Is it a hospital bill? Sure.
Yes, that's
you know,
fine. I'm there.
How much you need
I'm
for the baby? Got it. All right.
That
you know,
was it.
So again, it's like you said, it's a lack of awareness of
exactly.
That there's actually, there are actually things you can do to help and support your wife or your partner through pregnancy. So that's how that was for the first. And then for the second,
it was like, you know, and also, you know, when he wanted a baby immediately and I was like, no more babies. You've seen what I went through. So he also understood that this is what happens. Like he went through that process. He didn't go through the process of connecting with me. but he suffered the consequences later because then we suffered together.
Of course.
Because if your partner has postpartum depression and you're there, you're involved, you're also going to have your own depression, mm-hmm. you know. So
because it's not pretty.
Exactly. Mm. No, it's not. So, you know, I'm sure he was, if he says the kind of things he felt that period, it's like, what's happening? Like, he thought I was going crazy, thought I was mentally challenged. So with the second, he was there from the beginning, from the baby. He connected with me more, like he... it was more like we were pregnant together.
Beautiful.
So the other half of me was doing the other part. I didn't feel like he wasn't up to the task. He was always there.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, he was there. Like spiritually, he was there. He was, the process was just like it was two people going through it. It felt like we were pregnant together and we gave birth together. So yeah, I think that was one of the reasons why it was easier on me. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, that help is priceless. Like you said, it's one thing to be physically present, right? But
yeah.
for you to also just be emotionally present, yeah. it really makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. So please, like, have... And then I also like to encourage mothers or moms-to-be to have, like, open and honest conversations with men. Because the thing is, a lot of men genuinely don't know.
They don't know.
Especially being in Nigeria, like, it's not the norm. Like, they just know...
Yeah.
You know, I father the child, mm-hmm. I'll pay the bills, you know, but they don't really know how important
connect,
it is
yes.
to, you know, to emotionally support a woman
yes.
through pregnancy, because pregnancy is such like a woman's thing. So it's like, okay, I'm going to let you handle that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to handle other things. But
yeah.
we did this together. I didn't get myself pregnant.
Exactly.
So we need to be in it together. So.
And I think that's how it was made. Like mm-hmm. the whole process should be together.
Exactly.
You know.
So yeah, just have like open and honest conversations with your husbands and just talk to them. Please, I need your help. I need support.
Like,
yeah, just support me because I really, really need it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have three beautiful kids. And I don't know if you've seen on social media, there's been like a lot of, I don't know if you follow like a lot of like parenting content.
Yeah, I do.
But there's been a lot of content around like first, middle and last children. I don't know if you've seen it.
No,
and
I haven't.
So people have been making lots of like videos about the differences in the way we raise children. Like the first, you know, we're always really, really hard on them.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, the middle just kind of gets lost. You're like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then the last one, like, you know, she sneezes. And you're like, oh, did you make a sound,
it's
my
a
princess?
Typical, my home.
My queen, can I help you? What can I do? There's a video I saw yesterday where it was a woman. So she was talking about like dinner time. So she's like, oh, firstborn, she gave her firstborn like a plate of food, and the child is like, oh, you know, but I don't eat spaghetti. She's like, oh, but I don't like spaghetti. She's like, well, if you don't like spaghetti, you go to bed hungry. Exactly. But eat what's in front of you. And then the middle, the child was like, oh, I don't like spaghetti.
Whatever.
And she was like, yeah, whatever, just eat what, like, I don't care, like, whatever, just do what you want. And then the third was like, but mom, you know, I don't like spaghetti. She was like, oh my king, I am so sorry.
I feel like you're shading me.
What can I get?
I feel like you're
Pringles?
Leaving in my house and
you're
shading
me. Would you like some Pringles? Would you like a milkshake?
And the fact that you're looking directly and
exactly.
saying this, I feel like
no,
you're shading me.
But I'm shading myself. I'm shading myself.
That is so
typical. What do you want? And I've become like obsessed with why there's such a
have you started being intentional difference. With your second?
I'm now trying with my third
too.
Because I'm like, no, this is just. And I was watching a video where the woman was saying how we tend to parent our lastborns more generously.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a beautiful way of putting
yeah.
it. It's definitely like a nice way of putting
yeah.
it. Like, oh, you know, just being a bit more generous with your parenting. But I wanted to ask like if that was like the same with you, because it's something I'm definitely struggling with.
It is. And I feel like, you know what I do with my last, my daughter, I let other people around me parent her. So if someone is spanking her for using a word she's not supposed to or treating whoever like the way she's not supposed to, I just walk away. I can't do it. But I walk away when I hear my sister saying, Maxine, come over here. Oh, I feel so sorry for her because my sister is going to deal with her. But I walk away.
It's
and
better.
I'm like, good for you. But I can't look directly at her because once I look, I'm carrying my daughter to run because my sister is going to deal with her. You know, once she hears, Lexi, where are you? Maybe she's broken her lipstick or something.
Mm-hmm.
Once we hear it in the house, there's trouble because they're scared of my sister.
Good.
So I'm like, she's finished. I'm like, mind your business. I said, mind your business.
Just be going.
Sometimes when I know that it's something really tough, I'm like, Lexi, she's going to deal with you. And then I carry her and run away. So everyone has been saying it, but I refuse to believe that I'm like so soft on her. But that second son thing, that middle child thing is so true. And I think I focused more on it when I watched the video that I watched. It's different from the one you watched.
Mm-hmm.
My second son, I think what I do now is I give him more attention. Like whether I'm shouting on him or, trying to baby him more, I do it with intention, you know, of showing him that I'm noticing you. Because I think, am I a middle child? Like I'm the second of four. Am I considered a middle child?
Yeah, you're a middle.
Okay, so I think I felt that way, you know, growing up. So even without even making sure that I'm a middle child, I kind of felt that kind of whatever, like, way with my mom. Okay, like my first brother should give attention. My sister was like, oh. And then I was like the... If you want to sleep, you sleep.
If you don't want to sleep, well, it's okay. My bed.
So I realized that I'm doing that a lot to my second son. Like, my second son will come, I'm like, Jaden, whatever. You want to play with that sharp object, play. If you want to sleep, sleep. Like, I don't care. But with my first, I'm so hard on him. I'm like, you can't do this. There's no, he's always like, mommy, you're always shouting. And then I have to be intentional to be nice to him, to be like, Joey, you know, like I have to. Then my last is like really, that one doesn't do anything bad like to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that my second son, I feel like he's always lost. Like he's always like,
mm-hmm.
And you know what that made him do? That made him become a very independent boy. Like he the first to learn how to wear his clothes by himself.
Wow.
You know, he would talk sometimes, like he would just talk like one adult, like he would just walk. I'm like, well, nobody cares anyway. Let me go and pick. Like you hear him talking to himself and walking around the house with boldness. He puts his hand in his pocket, look, acting like a guy in the house. So I noticed that he's only six. He turned six last month. So I noticed that made him become independent some sort of way. So I don't know if it's a good thing or, and I know that happened to me too. I became, you know, independent earlier because I know that if I report to my mom, she won't really care. Like, she's not going to shout.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to focus on it. Like, it's literally like whatever to my mom. And I realized I was doing that. So I became more intentional about parenting him more. So I noticed I call him more. I hug him when I need to. And then I shout. You know, another thing I noticed that when he uses certain words that maybe if he says, I don't like them saying shut up. I rather them say like, keep quiet than shut up.
Same.
So when he says shut up, when my first son says it, I warn him. I'm like, dude, if I get you there. My daughter says it. I'm like, Mama, you're not supposed to be saying shut up. Say keep quiet instead. And guess what? You say it and she's like, shut up, shut up, shut up. But my second son says it. I'm like, and they report to me. They're like, oh, why is he saying shut up? Mommy, sees it. We should leave him now. I'm like, if he wants to say shut up, he should say. So when I watched that video, I felt like they were talking to me. I called my mom. I called my son. I'm like, do you guys know that I do this? We need to stop it too. You know, so yeah, that's the stage where I'm in. I'm in the stage of trying so hard to, when I say whatever, I turn back and I'm like, Jaden, come here. They said you said shut up. Now kneel down here. So, but I noticed that I'm forcing it. I don't really care if he said it. Just like kneel down, you know.
But I think it's important. Just keep forcing yourself until you get, because it's the same with me. And I have a girl in the middle.
Yeah.
And she's, so I remember it was sometime last year, I think. So the age difference, my first son is 8 and then my first daughter is going to be 7. They're born like
very
less
close.
Less than a year and a half between them. It was literally like back to back. Yeah, it's so embarrassing.
Me and my sister.
Marovi's like first birthday. We had like a big party, right? That's my son. Mm-hmm. So people were coming for the bash, like, hey, happy.
And then the next one.
Because my belly was like, they were like, what kind of this? You don't have any shame. Where is your shame? Are we here for a baby shower? Are we here for somebody's birthday? Why would you do something like this? Nothing's not good. It was so embarrassing. So,
but did you have a good pregnancy the first time?
Yes.
That's probably why you just opened
leg. That's why I opened leg with my sister.
That's why.
I was
that's
like, why. That's life why. Is like this. Let me
because
just
if
be.
It was really bad, your legs would have been tied
no,
together.
I was ready. Literally from like 4 months after I had my son, I was
ready.
So it's anyway, girl. I'm there. So they're really close in age. Mm. And then my last child is, there's 5 years between my two daughters. So my first daughter and my last daughter. So we haven't had a newborn in the house for so long. You know, like my other kids are like much older. Yeah. So like Neto and I are just like, wow, you know, a baby. And she's a girl and she's so cute. And, you know, she's so funny and sassy and boy. So it's just been the Neso show in my house. And one day, my daughter, she just sat on the steps and wasn't moving. Like, you know, when people are like walking past, she was just wasn't moving. I'm like, Mama, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I don't know. I just know that nobody loves me. And I was like, oh my God. Mama, what? She was like, yeah, like nobody loves me. I was like, first of all, this is a little bit dramatic.
Very.
Calm down, you know, and let's talk about it. But the thing is, so Marobi is, you know, a boy. So he, you know, he relates with his dad differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they play games together, play football together. They're obsessed with football.
Yeah.
Obsessed. So they have that. Mm-hmm. And then there's the baby who everyone dotes on and we're still feeding, changing her and all of that stuff. And then there was her who was just kind of, okay, yeah, there's another girl in the house and, you know, the boy, like, what am I supposed to be doing? So it was then that I was like, wow. And I had to speak to, I spoke to Nato about it.
Oh, that would be worse. I actually just got what you meant. Oh, okay. Yeah. She'd feel it more.
She'd feel it more because it's like, well, what's my role in the house?
Apart from her drama.
Being a little bit dramatic. She is a little bit dramatic. She has a flair for the dramatic. But I was like, wow. So I spoke to Nato about it and I spoke to my parents about it, Nato's parents about it as well, like all of my family, because I'm like, okay, I know we all love Nato, but I am dealing with this situation.
Yeah.
So every time, you know, we've video calls to see, we must also be like, oh, Mama, I want to see you. Yeah. Look at you. Look so beautiful. And just being intentional about it because they tend to get, they tend to get lost. Right. So, and seeing all of this content now, it's just been like, oh, man, like, I really, really need to work on it.
That was good that you did that. Mm.
Yeah, thanks. So,
how old was she when she said that?
She was 6.
Wow.
She's going to be 7. She's going to be 7 in a couple of months. So yeah, it was last year. So she's,
you know, they just
6.
Sit back and I wonder what 6. Goes on in their head when they just sit back and watch a lot of things.
Exactly. Like really.
I feel like nobody loves me.
She's like, yeah, nobody loves me anymore.
Anymore. Okay.
Like, wow. Okay, well, at least you know that.
You know that you were loved.
You were loved before. But yeah, it really, really, I really had to take a step back. Like, okay, I just need
so
to be a bit
more
intentional. And but like you said, like with your son, my daughter's now really independent. She's not really like a hugs and kisses kind of person.
My son is like that.
Like, I'll be like, oh, Mama, come give me a hug. She just kind of...
My son is like that.
Her body like...
My son. Oh my God, that's
really
crazy. My mom had to call me on the phone after she visited. What's your second son? He seems to, whenever I want to say I love you to him or I want to hug him, he's like, oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, okay, okay. Grandma is in. Like, you're hugging me too tight. So I started dragging him. Like, I'm like, JD. Because, you know, there is a thin line between forcing them to do what they don't want to do.
Exactly.
There's so much information. And you're like, am I doing it the wrong way? Like, I don't want to force him to hug me or kiss me if he doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But then I want to teach him that you should show that side. You should not be, you
and
know.
And be affectionate.
So I kind of started forcing him. I'm like, JD, come here. Give me a hug. And then, you know, hold him tight. I told everyone in the house, when you pass him, just like, you know, what you said, I called everyone. I told my husband, like, let's be intentional about giving him hugs and kisses. And so it kind of changed. It was like 4 months ago, my mom said that to me. And now he says, oh, Mommy, can I get a hug? Or he tries to
lay on
you.
That's
so
nice.
I think it worked. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm still waiting on that. Because my dad, like when my kids are going to bed, I'm like, Marobi will be like, okay. I'm like, okay, guys, it's bedtime. And then he'll be like, okay, good night, Mommy. I love you. Can I get a hug? And he'll come, give me a hug. As he's doing all of this, Adama's already walking up the stairs.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mama.
That's my son.
Good night, night.
That's my son.
Adama, I said good night. Good night. She's already like, she's already up.
And then sometimes
like,
when she does it,
you.
She's doing it because the other ones are doing it, right? Like when they rush to you to say I love you and hug you,
it's because,
you see my son slowly coming. When you look at him and the eyes, you know, you have that eye contact. It's like, yeah, me too, Mom. You know, like, okay, Jaden, stop with the fake.
I don't know. Well, this has been a comforting conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, at least I know.
Yeah.
It's just like,
and that's
a middle.
The good thing about having conversation with other moms. You're like, okay, so
it's
my
so
son
crazy.
Is not there.
Okay, great. Okay, good. So, but I'm going to stay on it. I'm going to stay on it. Like this, we're gonna hug.
It would happen.
This, you're gonna, you must kiss
me.
You must kiss me here. Kiss me well. Oh, amazing. Okay, so the name of this podcast is Mom's Worst Day, right?
Okay.
What would you say has been your worst day of motherhood, or at least one of the worst days you've had as a mom?
Does delivery count?
No, delivery does not count.
Okay. Worst day. Oh, as a mom, right? As a mom. Oh, shit. Could it be when I dropped my child on the floor when I slept off and he fell? Or when I hit his head when I tried to throw him? There's too many worst days. I don't even know which one.
Oh, which one?
There was a time I was trying to throw him up and then I hit his head.
Oh, no.
Oh, so yeah, I'm going to stop at that one. If I say the one my husband doesn't know about.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, oh no for the baby, but oh no for you, because I can imagine like your heart I rushed to the emergency
and they were like, he's fine. I'm like, can you check some more? Or was it the day I was sitting and pressing my phone and he kind of, I think he took the, I'm not sure till now if he drank that air freshener or not. But he's fine. He's alive. It happened when he was like 6 years.
To God be the glory. 6 years ago.
So he's fine now. So there were a lot of worst mom moments in my life. But they are living.
And that's, do you know, as long as there's life, there's hope. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow is going to be a better day.
True. They just
and we'll just see how it goes. Like, that's, please, I love that. Because the thing is, a lot of moms don't talk about these things.
Yeah.
Like, look, sometimes I'm pressing phone and these things happen, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel bad about it, but I'm a human being. I make mistakes and the child's alive.
Yeah, the child is alive.
To God be the glory.
That's the most important thing.
And that's the most important thing. And you learn from it, hopefully. And then you just see how it goes the next time.
Hopefully.
I mean, I don't know. We're just trying to figure this whole thing out. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, is there anything you're working on currently that you'd like to share with us?
I'm dabbling in a lot of things now. I'm trying to launch a lot of things that I maybe not ready to talk about now.
Okay.
Yeah, but how do I say it without saying it? I'm working.
Okay. You're working on a couple of exciting projects.
Yes. Thank you, Nicole.
All we need to do is follow you at Adese
Yobo. Yes.
And we'll be able to keep up with everything
with
exciting that's happening. But this year is going to be a big year.
Oh, thank you so much, Nicole.
I've got you. Like, that's why I'm here. I've got you.
Thank you.
So we're coming to the end of the podcast, and usually at the end I talk about affirmations, like I mentioned earlier, which is why I had like a full breakdown.
Yeah,
that was so embarrassing. I can't believe, like, I was really like, even for the first like 10 minutes I was still sniffing.
Do you usually hold back like your tears when you
I cry a lot.
My husband is tired.
Believe me, my husband is tired now. He doesn't like
even think my cry means anything anymore.
It doesn't mean, no, literally. Because the first when we're dating, no, I wasn't really crying much when we were dating because I was trying to, you know, be hard
tough. Me too. Yeah, me too.
It was when we got married. I was
after pregnancy.
You cry like
after
this.
Pregnancy, I started crying. Like,
I cry.
I might just be talking to him over like, oh, babe, did you see that picture of that boy in the movie? And then I start crying. It's like, ah, oh, baby, it was a movie now. Why is it being dramatic? This is why I don't watch movie with you.
I cry. I can't lie. So,
no,
yeah,
I
so
cry
this
for
is,
everything.
Is nothing new. But I'm a big believer in affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try and read one every day and then, you know, think on it and let it kind of guide me through the day. And today's affirmation is, being a mother has made me feel beautiful.
Oh.
What are you getting from that? Being a mother has made me feel beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny, that was my affirmation for today, because for someone like you who, who's a beauty queen, right? And people associate you with being physically beautiful anyway.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that motherhood has made you feel beautiful? Because as moms, I mean, I don't know what it's been like for you going through the trajectory of literally being the most beautiful girl in Nigeria to being a mom and maybe not feeling your best and dealing with like gaining, you know, weight when you're pregnant and all of the changes that come with being a mother, right? Hearing this, being a mother has made me feel beautiful. What are you getting from that?
I'm getting everything from her. You know, I feel like, you know, like, I don't know if you feel, get that vibe from mothers. Like, I feel like they're so beautiful. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I feel like I'm the most beautiful now that I've ever been. Even before now, I would, before motherhood, I had so much insecurities and I didn't even have anything to feel insecure about.
Right.
Like, I didn't have stretch marks. I wasn't fat, you know, nothing. But after, you know, going through all these things that I went through, 3 C-sections, postpartum depression, prenatal depression, and 3 kids and struggling to keep myself afloat and looking at myself in the mirror, I always feel like, damn, like, you are beautiful. And that word is not just the physical part. It's more like how, you know, I've been able to handle all these things
mm-hmm.
and still not look like a trailer
mm-hmm.
didn't just hit me 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer being motherhood, because motherhood sometimes feels like you were hit like, you know, a big trailer just jammed you and you're like, where am I right now?
Sis,
so sometimes I look at myself, I'm like, And I'm not saying physical again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I'm looking into myself and I'm like, you're doing a good job. So I always do that to myself. I always say that to myself. Sometimes when I feel like I'm about to sleep and, you know, fall into that part where I am not so sure of my next move or I don't feel so secure, I remind myself, like, you are so beautiful. And I feel like that's what beauty, you know, means to me. Beauty is like how you feel inside. You know, when people say this before, you're like, I beg, shut up. Like,
exactly.
You know, what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing.
I'm telling you.
You know, but motherhood has taught me that beauty is from, like, sometimes I listen to mothers tell their stories and I love them more. Like, you know, you're meeting someone for the first time and you're like, oh, I don't know if this person is going to be a bitch or anything. And
mm-hmm.
they start telling their story, you know, their journey through motherhood. And you're like, oh, like, you're so beautiful. Like, you're so sexy. I don't mm-hmm. know if you get that vibe from mothers. Like,
I do. 100%.
I get it a lot. And I just want to sit there and listen to their story. And we can just exchange. I can talk about motherhood like with anyone for hours and still feel like good talking about it. And mm-hmm. when I'm looking at that person, that mom, I feel that's beauty right there. Like, because I feel like that's what the world, like, who gives birth, goes through all of that and still stands. I don't think, I'm not trying to bash the other gender, but I'm mm-hmm. trying to say that
mm-hmm.
I don't think they can survive it.
They can't.
So we're not bashing them. I'm just saying that they cannot, you know, because that's what I feel is beauty. You know, so let me just stop right there.
That
I don't
was
know if I explained it properly.
Such an incredible answer.
Really?
Like, that was amazing. I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
I feel now more beautiful than I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is me being a mom 3 times over.
Yeah.
Not being, you know, the size I was before, mm-hmm. but that's fine.
That's okay.
But you know, there's beauty in my experience, mm-hmm. right? And I look at my body and it's not the same. I have stretch marks and, you know, boobs aren't where they used to be.
Yeah.
Butt isn't what it used to be. But, you know, it's fine. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's beauty in that experience.
Yes.
And because I have been through so much with my kids, it's made me much more confident as a woman. And mm-hmm. I think that confidence is beautiful.
I think that's
when
it.
You see a confident woman, right?
Yes.
Like, they are, even if you're not sure you
yeah.
find them physically, mm-hmm. you're like, I don't know if I find mm-hmm. you physically. I think of, but there's just a beauty mm-hmm. radiating from them. And I think that motherhood has given me that because
yes.
of the experiences I've been through. So I completely, girl.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic answer. Thank you. So thank you.
Thank you.
This was such
thank
an amazing conversation.
You.
As always, like, talking to you is always so amazing, so refreshing. I'm so grateful that you were so open and honest and shared so much with us. I think that is so important that we continue to have these conversations
mm-hmm.
as moms. And I just hope that people enjoy it and learn from it. And please, 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 if you're looking for amazing motherhood, because she is a fantastic mom, make sure you're following her at Adeyese Yobo and watch out for her new and exciting projects coming soon.
thank you
so much. And thank you for listening, and bye.